Gracious God, take our minds and think through them. Take our hands and work through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Today's readings from Isaiah and Luke serve to remind us of two truths. The first is that the world is a broken place, torn apart by human desires for power and the power of nature over our humanity. And it has been a broken place for as long as human memory stretches. The second is that our only hope in the face of this brokenness is our hope in the abiding love of God, and that that love can transform and heal the hurt. In Luke, we are presented with eschatological images, pictures of what will happen before the end of times: destruction, wars, plagues, betrayal, famine, the very essence of the brokenness of our world. And yet this passage tells us that things will get much worse before the reign of God's mission of justice, peace, and reconciliation comes to full fruition. It also tells us that our faith will be tested. And it tells us that there is hope in the form of trusting the Spirit of God to give us wisdom and words when we are in times of need. In Isaiah, we read the words spoken to comfort those who have returned from exile to rebuild Jerusalem. It is one thing hearing about devastation as it was passed down in their story, but it is another to stand amidst it. And when those who returned were standing and facing the utter destruction of their homeland, and hope must have felt fleeting, they were bolstered by the knowledge of a God who can and will create joy out of desolation, that they shall not labor in vain, and they shall be blessed. God knows that we need hope in order to stand in our broken world, just as the Israelites did, and just as those who read and listened to the Gospel of Luke did after experiencing the destruction of the temple in their own day. But their question and our question too is, what is that hope calling us to do? I believe it calls us to join in the work of the Spirit that has already been activated in this world, bringing transformation through love and compassion. And if only it were that simple. I don't know about you all, but when I consider the brokenness of our world, not unlike the portents offered up in Luke, I can easily become overwhelmed by the scale of it. What is it that I can do to really change things? And even thinking bigger, what is it that we can do to really change things sometimes doesn't seem to help. Because we have to start somewhere, but how do we start somewhere and where do we start? It feels paralyzing, not knowing how or where to start when we look at such complex issues as war, the political maneuverings of leaders, poverty, oppression, and the list goes on and on. If we are not careful, it can lead us to hopelessness, or something I think is even worse, apathy. So how is it that we keep hope alive and forge ahead in our call? I think the first step is that we must realize that there are some things that we can do as individuals, and there are some things we are called to do as communities. And accordingly, the tasks that we set for ourselves and for all of us together need to take on the scale of those dimensions. It was Margaret Mead that said, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed people can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has." What she doesn't say, and what I would add, is that small, thoughtful, committed actions are the root of change, the operative word being small. Church historian Roberta Bondi wrote in the Christian Century about such a small scale of action, and telling a story about a great early monastic teacher in the Egyptian desert named Poman. One day, a student came to Pohman asking him about a big, complex teaching of Jesus. What is it that Jesus means when he said, "No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends"? What a seemingly huge commitment that asks from us. But of all the answers that Pohman could have offered, this is what he gave his student. In truth, if someone hears an evil saying, that is, one which harms him, and in his turn he wants to repeat it, he must fight in order not to say it. Or if someone has taken advantage of it and he bears it, without retaliation at all, then he is giving his life for his neighbor. In other words, no matter how complicated or serious the problem, insisting on a grandiose solution can end in despair or hopelessness. There are many small ways in which we do indeed give up our lives for others. And the love inherent in those is no less for there being no actual loss of life. Without the little things we do, there can be no changes, big or small. We are not called by God into complexity, we are called into simplicity. This is about the choices we make every day, the way we spend our money, the relationships that we choose to nurture. If we think about hunger on a global scale, we may lose hope. But if we think of those in our community who are hungry, then we can do something little, like bringing food every week to church to give to the Berkeley Food Pantry, or serving at the Open Door Dinner once a month. If we think about global warming and environmental degradation, then we may indeed lose hope. But if we each do small things, it will make a difference. Whether that be riding our bikes more and driving our cars less, or just choosing to swap out CFLs for old-fashioned light bulbs. And as more of us live into these small changes, it's only the natural progression of hope that we will join to form larger groups that will in turn push for more change. Sometimes organized groups, and sometimes it seems that those of us are drawn together solely by the concurrence of the Spirit, such as the 61% of Californians who voted to reject an attempt to roll back global warming legislation in our recent election. If we think about access to health care and treatment of disease on a global scale, we may lose hope. After all, our nation is divided on this very topic. And yet something as simple as a monetary donation to Episcopal Relief and Development can have the effect of purchasing treated malaria nets for those in sub-Saharan Africa to prevent the spread of malaria, as well as provide care to those affected by HIV/AIDS. And if you give through the end of the month, your donation will be matched and doubled through a current matching gift challenge. Small change can be global as well. Each of us have a different lens for viewing our world and a different passion for fixing what is broken, and so our choices and actions will each be different. What is yours? A helpful lens may be the Millennium Development Goals. Where does your passion lie? Ending poverty and hunger? Universal education? Gender equality? Child health? Maternal health, combating HIV/AIDS, environmental sustainability, global partnerships. Wherever your hope draws you, you have the opportunity to transform the world, locally and globally, through your actions. Now is the time to reflect on it and to figure out just what it is that your hope is calling you to. And once you know, you need to share it with others. For to truly heal our world, we need to share our hope with each other that we may form communities of hope. In Luke, Jesus calls this testifying. I kind of like the old-timey images that word brings up. It's not one that we generally use, but I think it's one that we ought to reclaim. It hits to the center of the task before us. How does your lifestyle testify to the abiding love of God? How do your actions testify to the Missio Dei, God's mission of justice, peace, and reconciliation? How do you testify to the hope that together we can heal the broken places in our world? I think it's fitting somehow that from two truths, what we are left with are many questions. From a sense of surety, we find space for reflection. And within that space, the hope of God transforms our humanity, our very expectation of what it is we can do. Hope led those returning from exile to believe that they could rebuild Jerusalem. And hope is what remained in Luke's vision at the end of times. Hope is what we need to draw on when the brokenness seems too much, and to guide our minds and our hands and our hearts in the healing of this world. So today I ask you, where is your hope leading you? And what will it be that we hope together as a community? Amen.